Hello and what's good, Nuggets Nation? Welcome to the Dig In Denver podcast, a podcast for the people by the people. As always, I'm your handsome and humble host, Derek, and I'll be accompanied tonight by your co-host, Logan, with a beautiful face for the radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Logan here from the Dig In Denver podcast, bringing you part two of our continued podcast on the evaluations of the Denver Nuggets so far this year.
No doubt, no doubt. Let's dig in.
Well, first off, his minutes went up dramatically.
We was in the back of the joint cooling out, and I saw this girl, asked her if she like it like that. Not a head, yes,
therefore I didn't stress. Well, all right, guys, we're going to start off with Wilson Chandler. This is going to be a little bit of a tale of two stories with Wilson so far this year. The beginning of the year, he was our best player. He came off the bench early on, and he was probably candidate for sixth man of the year, probably for the first 2 or 3 months of the season. And he was playing great basketball, getting into the lane, getting great shots in there, and also hitting those three-point shots. As of late, he's been struggling a little bit more. He's had a little bit of frustration with his role. And just from a basketball point of view, I know it's tough being able to play one game that's 40. You play 42 minutes one game. The next game, you play 20 minutes. Just because you didn't make your first three shots. And that's kind of what stinks about this Denver Nuggets team. If you're not playing great, you're not going to be finishing out the game with them. And I understand that frustration with Wilson there, but that's how everyone is on the team, and he's been averaging the most minutes on the team, so I don't think he really should be complaining personally. But I know that's a tough role to be put into, but I think that everyone on the Nuggets team has had to go through that so far. So I think that he needs to come back together a little bit and bring back his game that he had early on in the year with that second unit.
How would you say his play's been since the whole, I don't know if you want to call it a drama, since the whole thing kind of dropped about, you know, the interview with Christopher Dempsey with the consistency of minutes? How would you say his play has been since then?
First off, his minutes went up dramatically. I mean, Mike Malone's one of those player coaches. He wants to keep his players happy, and that's one way to do it, I guess, if they whine about their playing time to give them more minutes. But I don't really like that Mike Malone just threw him into the game. I mean, I think he played 43 minutes the game after. But I mean, he's been playing a little bit better basketball. He's been getting a little bit more confidence. You can tell he's a little bit happier with his role. I don't want him playing that many minutes a game at the three, but I think that he has been effective since then, and I'm happy that he's been able to rebound from that and kind of put it all behind him, hopefully. So for me, I'm going to have to give him a B- just with his inconsistency. But early on in the year, I would give him an A+, but hopefully he can finish out the year the way he started it, and I hope the best for him. And the Nuggets play so much better when he's effective off the bench, so hopefully he can do that for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm going to go with a solid B. He's been solid. You made all the good points. I'm not going to get too much into it. Wilson is probably one of my favorite players just because of his demeanor. See, that's what I hate saying. He's one of my favorite players. I love watching this basketball team. They're so much fun. I really liked him when he was playing with the Knicks, so I was super pumped when we got him here. He's kind of that swing player. He's strong. He's long. He's lean. He can shoot. He can drive. He's put a couple people on posters this year. He's really just my favorite type of play, and he's humble. He's not loud. He's not, you know, flashy and jumping and dancing. And I had actually released a tweet when when he put Zubac on a poster. He went up and had that slam. It was nasty. Everyone was going crazy. The dude looked like he just made a layup, like a wide open layup. No reaction from him, and I love that about him. That humble hustler's, you know, spirit in there where, you know, hey, I'm gonna work hard and let my success speak for itself. You know, that whole quote goes, that's Wilson in a nutshell. You know, I call him the sensei of the group, most level-headed, calm dude, very well-spoken. He's definitely a great representative for the Nuggets. I was, you know, ridiculously bummed when it was talked about all of a sudden maybe Wilson would be traded. So I'm glad nothing like that's going on. You know, it's always just trade rumors, but anytime I see my guys on the trade block, especially some of my favorite players, I get a little bummed out. So yeah, solid B for him. I think that's a fair assessment.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next player. This one's a little bit of an interesting one this year. It's Kenneth Faried. He's been injured a lot of the year so far, and that's one thing he really hasn't had so far in his career. He's really been a healthy guy, being able to rely on his consistency to be on the court at least and provide that energy. I think just saying he's an energy guy is about as basic as it can get. That's what everyone says. That's what the ESPN guys say when they think they know anything about the Nuggets. They watch one game leading into it and say, oh yeah, he's an energy guy. And I think that if you guys listen to the last podcast, I talked about Danilo Gallinari and someone telling me that if you have someone that goes on vacation or leaves or something in your organization or something like that, and you don't miss them or you don't realize that they're gone, that they're expendable. And I think Kenneth's one of those guys. He has those games that we couldn't have won without him because of his energy and his offensive rebounding skills and just the demeanor that he brings on the court makes everyone want to work harder. But I think overall, we could possibly move him in a trade. I haven't heard too many rumors as of late with him, but I think he's one of those guys that we can move. He's been having a very limited role so far this year. And one thing I really can say is I really like how he's been able to embrace a smaller role. Previous years, he's been very adamant in saying that he wants to be a starter and he wants to play a lot of minutes. And he's been able to kind of swallow his pride a little bit, take that limited role and play on this Nuggets team that's very deep and is very young. So I applaud him for that. So my overall grade for him, you get what you expect from him. I mean, you probably expected him to be exactly what he's at this year. So from his expectations, I'll give him a B just because you know what you're going to get from Fareed. So that B, I think, is the correct rating for him. What do you think, Derek?
I'd almost venture to say just a C, just because it's, you know, on even kilter of what we expected. But I'll give you that B rating just because of the fact that he's been able to soak up his pride. My favorite thing about this team is that there's no superstars, that everyone's playing for themselves and each other, and that we have a bunch of homegrown young talent. That's my favorite thing about this squad. So with the fact of the surgence of Nikola Jokic and the fact that he sees that and can accept his role, if you guys haven't, make sure to go check out Denver Stiffs, our competition. But, Adam Otters wrote a hell of an article, and I always give props where props are due. The man wrote a great article about the gravity that Kenneth Fareed has pulled towards having playing in that short corner and his athletic ability to play above the rim. He really adds a vertical threat for us and about the only guy on the court that gives us that besides, you know, until the recent acquisition of Plumlee on our team. But anyways, I give him that B, solid B+. Great energy, love his heart, love his enthusiasm and what he brings to our team for sure.
All right, so next we're going to talk about the best three-point shooter in the league, Darrell Arthur. I'm just kidding. But that's really what he's been able to do this year. I mean, his three-point shooting has amazed me. I remember a couple years ago, he couldn't miss a 15 to 16-foot jumper, and that was his game. He stepped out of the three and couldn't make it. And I applaud his effort and his work in the gym to be able to shoot that three. And, I mean, just being able to shoot at such a high percentage, and he's only been able to shoot the three for a year and a half. And I think he's shooting at 45%, I think, last time I checked. And that's the best on the team, I believe. And the thing I like the most about Darrell Arthur is his defense. And on a team that we don't have any real defensive players besides maybe him and Gary, it's really big to have a guy like that, especially a big guy down low that can guard the big guys in the league that can kind of bully our big guys. So he's one of my more underrated players, and I would give him an A- so far this year. That might be a surprise for some people. I know he's been hurt a lot this year, and he hasn't been able to play as much, but in that smaller sample size, he's been one of our more efficient players, and I think with him and Jokic in the lineup together, they really complement off each other well, just so that Arthur can help him out a little bit on the defensive side of the ball, and then Arthur can also help Jokic out because he can space the floor and open up that lane for Jokic to pass or drive in the lane with as well. So I'm going to give him an A-, and he's been my highest grade so far, I believe, and besides Gary, I think I'm a little biased on the whole defensive thing. That's what the Nuggets need to do. So I really like those defensive guys that can play on both ends of the floor. So that's what I'm going to give him. What do you think, Derek?
A's a little high for me, but I'm going to give it to you. just like you said, his flexibility with this team, he's like a mascot for our team. He's like a poster boy. He's flexible, he's versatile, and his consistency has been good when he's not hurt. He's been awesome. You made some really, really good key points on him. I won't go too far deep into him either, just because I think you said everything that needs to be said on him. It's really nice to have him shooting like he is. He adds another level to our team, that a veteran who can play well. He's a team guy. He's an energy guy too. He's out there, you know, doing the sauce and the cooking up, you know, with all the kids and stuff, dancing on the bench and stuff. And he's a real big proponent on being a cheerleader on the bench too. So big ups to Darrell Arthur this year, what he's brought to us and how much he's helped us out. So I'm excited to have a guy like him on our team, and I think an A+ is deserving.
All right, so next it's going to be the Derek's favorite player in the world, I believe, or one of his favorites, Juancho Hernan Gomez. So I kind of took over a little bit on Darrell Arthur, so I'm going to let him really go off on Juancho here and see what he has to think about it, and let us know what you guys think about Juancho as well.
I'll give him an A. I'm done. No, honestly, I'd give him like a high B, B+, A, just because I don't think there was a lot of expectations for him. I don't think a lot of people knew who the hell he was, to be honest with you. He was, I would say, no, he was pretty well publicized, him and Jamal, and then Malik was probably after that. But I really don't believe that he was a guy people were really talking about once, and I didn't know who he was either until you were actually telling me that we had drafted him. I was like, who's this kid? And I went and watched a bunch of his highlight tapes, and I was like, ooh, I like this kid. He's honestly my first thought, and this is no hot take. Everybody kind of knows this now, but the first thing I thought of when I was watching all his highlight tape and doing all the studying was the replacement for Gallo. I like him because he's semi-unassuming. He was a little skinny. He wasn't super, you know, physically anything astonishing in that department, but he's a good player. He can rebound, his passing, and his defensive ability. I think he has the ability to be a huge defensive proponent for us on that side. We don't have a lot of people that are showing any promise, like he's showing promise in the defensive end. And then, of course, he goes off the other night for 27 points. Man, that was, I was going crazy. I was going crazy in my house. My daughter kept yelling at me that I need to calm down, but I love it. I love the kid's motor. He's not a hot dog. He's very confident, but he's not a hot dog. He's there to work hard. He's there to do what he needs to do for the team. You know, he shut down Kevin Durant for us earlier in the season. He's grabs rebounds all the time. He's a hustler. He's a more athletic version of like a Kenneth. He's a better scoring version of Kenneth Faried in the fact that like he's going to go get you a mad amount of rebounds. He's going to play his role and play his part, do what he has to do, but he has an offensive threat that Kenneth does not have. But same thing, he's like a replacement for Dino and a more well-rounded Dino, and obviously shows that he can score. Kid has an amazing shot. I was watching his shot in slow-mo and I just kept watching over and over again, but his form is so beautiful. It's a work of art watching that kid shoot. When I watched, like I said, his whole form, it's just picturesque. It's what you want from a shooter. Like I said, I love his motor. Kid's always going. He's kind of reminding me of how Gary was at the beginning of the season. I think Gary's kind of dropped away from that. And what I'm talking about is the constantly moving. He's constantly cutting, constantly in rotation, always moving around. He's never standing in one spot. And that's what we play, and that's how we play. And people love that, see that, and give him the ball. I think our team really enjoys playing with him on the floor. So it's nice to see him that he does that. And Adam Mares made a really good point about there's just an excitement to his game. You could see when he was hitting all those three how excited he was. He was having a good time. It's a dream come true. The kids, you know, finally got the chance. He obviously believes in his talent and his ability, and he was going off. And as happy as he was, I actually... This is weird, but I kind of just got chills. Like, it's cool seeing a kid that's humble, who wants to work hard, who's willing to do the dirty stuff and not, you know, get a bunch of minutes and stuff, and who will come out, contribute to our team, and really do what he does. I'm going to give him an A+.
Yeah, you guys, I really like this guy as well. I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I'm a real defensive guy, and yes, he is a lot smaller than most of the fours or even threes in the league, and especially with his like size, his width, he's very skinny, but he can guard those skinny threes in the league like Kevin Durant. And I think like the Andrew Wiggins, I know Wiggins went off for 41 on us, but Hernan Gomez didn't guard him too much. I think he would have been a lot more effective on Wiggins, but I really liked his defense in that first home game that we had against the Warriors this year. I went to it. Hernan Gomez played great defense on Kevin Durant. There was a couple possessions where I would only watch him and KD, and he was fun to watch on the defensive side of the ball. He was really moving around, really making it tough for Kevin Durant to even get the ball. And then once he had it, he was into him. And he wasn't afraid that he was going against one of the best scorers in the league and one of the best scorers of all time as well. And I really like that. And one of the things that surprised me as well, you see this little dorky kind of white kid from Spain or wherever he's from. I think it's Spain. And you see him driving in the lane, and then he just elevates. That kid can jump. You don't really expect that from him, but he's really got that athleticism that you wouldn't really expect from him, and it's fun to see when he gets up into the air like that. And another thing that I like about him that you can never teach is that he seems to be in the right place at the right time. Like I said, he's not that huge guy that gets all those boards, but he seems to be in the right place. He's just sitting there under the hoop. The ball finds him. He puts it back in for the easy garbage bucket. And that's a nice player to have on your team since you can't teach that. He's a very smart, very good basketball IQ. And I think he's going to be one of our key pieces moving forward. Hopefully we can keep him around here in Denver for a while. It's going to be tough with all these young guys at some point expecting these big contracts, being able to pay all these kids. But we're going to see how that goes, and hopefully we're going to be able to keep these kids around. So I'm going to have to give Hernan Gomez, in his limited minutes and limited game time, when he has been able to come in and provide for us, he's been ready off the bench. So I agree. I think he's going to – I think I'd give him an A minus or an A. He's really I didn't think he was going to play much this year, but in the minutes that he's played, he's done a great job. So he's one of the more surprising players so far this year. Until we get into this next guy that we're going to talk about, Nikola Jokic. I mean, you guys all know about this kid already. Who? Nikola Jokic, you know? Who's that? Well, Derek doesn't know about him, but I think he scored like 40 or something at Madison Square Garden, I think. I don't know. Nope. I think he's okay. Nope. No, I'm just kidding. This guy is going to be an all-star. I read an article. I think it was a little bit biased. Obviously, it was a Denver article, but they said that Nikola Jokic was the biggest all-star snub in the league. And I mean, he's still a young kid. He's half the year. He wasn't playing too great until December 15th. But I agree. He's been playing like an all-star since, and he's our future. And it's fun to see a guy like that, so humble and so family-oriented. You always see his brothers at the game, and they said the last game, or Hastings was talking about his dad waking up at 3 a.m. every morning watching his games, and Jokic was feeling bad that his dad never got to sleep over there in Serbia. And I really like this kid. He's funny. He's not just called the Joker because his name's Jokic, and it kind of sounds like it. This kid's funny. You see those little skits that the Nuggets do, the jokes with Joker. He's just a funny guy and seems like a good personality to have in the locker room. Fun guy to, like, pull pranks on, I'm sure. Pull pranks on people as well. I don't think I can tell you anything new about him. If you're listening to this podcast, I know you're a big Nuggets fan. You know his passing ability. You know his ability to score as well. And surprisingly, his rebounding as well. I don't know how a kid like that, so small like that, can get a 21 rebound game. But he continues to surprise us. And there's no surprise here, but I will give him an A+. Maybe throw a couple extra pluses in there. This kid's going to be special. This kid is special. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about him. This is the future of the Nuggets. And I'm ready for him to really show us what Nikola Jokic can do in the league. That's really all I could say. I only have the best words to say for Nikola Jokic. If I were to be a real critic, the only problem with him is sometimes when he's not getting those calls go his way, gets a little bit frustrated and gets those silly fouls. He just slaps at the people. He needs to be able to control his emotions a little bit better, but that's also why I like it. He's going to have that fire. He wants to win. He needs to win to be happy, and that's the kind of guys that you want on your team. If Nikola Jokic, you're listening to this, I love you, man. We're going to give you over to Derek to praise you some more. I'm sure you heard enough of that already, but here's some more for you.
Favorite thing about Nikola Jokic is his selflessness. Everything, I don't know if you happen to see the statement that he made about if, and I can't, I believe it was TJ that might have asked him about it. maybe it was Harry, I can't remember who it was. Somebody had asked him about what he enjoyed more, scoring or passing, and his response was just priceless. It was total marquee Jokic, and it was, you know, well, scoring makes one person happy, passing makes two people happy. That's who he is, and that's how he plays ball. He looks for these guys. He wants to give them the cuts. You and I talked about it, and we're going to sound like a broken record, but I love talking about this kid. He is so amazing. He breaks and defies the stereotypical NBA all-star type player. He's goofy. He's uncoordinated. He's not the strongest dude in the world. You look at him, and one of our buddies, Dylan, always tells us, he's like, God, I don't know how he's so good. Like, I get why he's so good, like, you know, watching his game, but, like, when you look at him, if you walk down the street, you wouldn't be like, yo, that's Nikola Jokic, you know, joined the 40-plus club points this year, you know, crazy, you know, getting his triple-doubles in within four games of each other and just elevating the Nuggets to a whole nother place of play. I really, really enjoy the fact that he is just so selfless with his teammates. He's going to get his buckets, but he doesn't have to. He's so much more versatile. He affects the game in so many more ways than just scoring. He is not just about that, and he's willing to do what he has to do for his team. When he got his first triple-double, what was the one thing he did? They gave him the game ball, and he asked everybody to sign the game ball for him. How cool is that? You know what I mean? Because that's a testament. Because in reality, he can't get that triple-double without his teammates, right? I mean, literally, one quarter of that of those stat lines are all his teammates, assists to his teammates that are making the buckets. Like, that's a humble, true player. A lot of players in the league sometimes will be like, oh, it's all about my team and it's all about us as, you know, a unit. But then they play kind of selfishly. It's kind of contradictive. It's almost just like a cliche thing to say, especially when you're kind of like the franchise, they're the face of the franchise. But the kid is genuine about it. I have never heard one person say anything bad about him. I was actually just looking on my phone right now on Twitter, and TJ McBride had just said about how he makes everybody feel welcome because Paul George had released a statement just saying that he doesn't like, or the team, they're trying to find a way to play with inside of each other and to find their team chemistry and stuff like that. And TJ says, well, you know, Jokic does a really good job at making all his teammates feel welcome, but it's so true. Like, the kid is just, his energy is electric. He's, you know, he just has this certain personality that just meshes well for us. And I couldn't be more proud and happy to have him on our team. And Tim Connelly, all the hats off to you, man. That was a hell of a pickup. You knew it from the beginning. He called it from the beginning. And, man, the vision of Tim Connelly, I got to say, I'm a fan of him as a GM for sure. So,
yeah, Tim Connelly, I'm not going to lie. Right away, once you drafted another European or foreign kid, I wasn't too happy. But you proved everybody wrong. And he's one of the greatest second-round picks and could go down as one of the best second-round picks of all time if he can continue this sort of game that he's going after. And one more thing that I want to finish off with here. It's not just about Jokic. It's about the team as a whole. What I really liked about that Minnesota game, Hastings and Marlowe were talking about it during the game, is saying every time Mason Plumlee went to the bench, you had two or three guys asking him, hey, do you have any questions? Do you know what you're doing on the offense? Do you need any sort of help? And that's just kind of the guys that we have on our team. We've got a bunch of guys that want to help each other and want to help the team win. We're a team. We're a team right now. I mean, I really like the direction that we're going. I like the new acquisitions. I think the front office has the right idea in mind right now. And it's something I can really support. And this is probably going to be my favorite Nuggets team that's ever going to exist. I mean, it was fun watching the Carmelo Anthony era, but this team's different. If you enjoy a real game of basketball, if you know the game of basketball well, this is how it's supposed to be played. It's not supposed to be played with a bunch of one-on-one guys like that, like we had in the past. Yeah, we had some success with that, but this is the team that we have been waiting for here in Denver, and we as fans need to recognize that and go support these guys. They need to see in the fans that we really enjoy what the type of brand of basketball that they're playing. Let's get out there and show them some support, make a push for that 8 spot, and heck, maybe even the 7 spot if we get hot.
Yeah, exactly. I think we need to be grateful for what we have. I think some people don't really understand exactly everything that we do have. We have something special in this kid and this team. And at the beginning of the year, I remember saying in one of my articles that I had written was, I love that the fact that this team can break the status quo of the NBA, just like you were talking to, just further backing up what you just said about we don't have a bunch of one-on-one players. We don't have three, you know, we don't have the big three or, you know, the four, you know, all-stars on our team and then a bunch of role players. We literally just have a deep, deep cast of really talented, potentially great players on our team. And I love and I hope that we break the mold of what the NBA is. It's just a bunch of flash and style and steez, you know, that these dudes have in swagger. No, like, I want to bring it back to basketball. And if Denver can be that image, that brand name of that type of basketball, it makes me so proud to be, you know, a fan and supporter for these guys. I'll always be no matter what happens. But like you said, this is one of my favorite teams. Love this team. Love who we are and our identity and who we're, and we're trying to find ourselves. And it's fun to watch us come into our own, you know, shoot our own shot, if you will.
Yeah, and one final thought on that, kind of going off of what you're saying with how deep we are. We beat Golden State, one of the best teams in the league, and you can say one of the best teams of all time with the addition of Kevin Durant, with six players out. And that's six guys that play consistent minutes. That's wild. I mean, we were playing at one time, we had a lineup in there that was three rookies, a guy in a 10-day contract, and an 84-year-old in Mike Miller. And we were making a run on the Golden State Warriors with that sort of team. That's crazy. You got to recognize that as a fan. And of course, ESPN only talked about Golden State missing Klay Thompson and Sean Livingston that game. Didn't say that we were missing six players. But we as Nuggets Nation know how deep this team is and how exciting it is. So let's keep supporting our guys and let's see what we can do this year.
Yeah, what up, Uncle Mike? Hey, do you like Johnny? I actually kind of like him. I don't think he's a bad player at all. I think he could develop into something pretty cool. We won't get too far into Johnny, but, you know, big ups. I do like the kid. I think he's a pretty cool asset to our team. So, you got anything else you want to talk about, Logan? Anything you want to say to the people? Go Nuggets. Let's go Nuggies. Well, guys, if you don't, you already know what to do. Make sure to go on to iTunes and give us a 5-star review or a 1-star review and let us know what we need to fix to get that 5-star. But for real, leave us a review if you can. We'd really appreciate it. Just get some feedback from you guys. We do this for you guys, a podcast for the people, by the people. So go ahead and just holler at us, let us know. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at DigInDenver if you don't already do so. And go check out our site. Ton of great content all the time. A lot of really good, talented writers on there. So go look at what we have. We try to bring you the latest updates. We have some of our people going to practices and stuff like that. So, like I said, we're always pushing out new content. Make sure to go to the site, take a look at that, and follow our actual parent network, Real Ball Insiders. We cover a bunch of different teams. We cover football and baseball and college. So we're on the come up right now. So make sure to go check that out. Leave us reviews. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you have any questions, holler at us. Well, signing off from the middle of a padded room in UNC campus. This is Derek, your co-host, Logan, saying peace out, and let's dig in, Denver. And coming through guns blazing, some of you duns running through ones with none saved and complaining. Me and my clan are unscathing. From the soul comes something amazing. If you only knew the trials and tribulations we've been through. But if you only knew, we real people, homie, just like you. We humble, but don't mistake us for some corny-ass crew. What we do is try to give you what you ain't used to. Soul music, something we can all relate to. Napa know-how. A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.